So this woman approaches the pearly gates, right? And she's greeted by St. Peter. And he says to her, before you enter, you must spell a word. Oh, she said, what word? Any word you like, he told her. And she said, I'll spell love, L-O-V-E. And so St. Peter tells her that she could go in, but asked if she would mind staying there a moment while he went to get another cup of coffee. And she says, well, what do I do if someone comes? And he says, just tell them to spell a word. And then off he goes. Soon, she'd only been there for like a moment, and her husband comes into view. And she says, what are you doing here? And he told her, I was so distraught at your funeral that when I was driving home, I got into an accident, and here I am. And she says, well, you have to spell a word before you can come in. He says, what word? She answered, Czechoslovakia. I know. I had to wake you up. You know, we think about heaven, and our culture has all different kinds of ideas about what it's like and what's going to happen after we die. And some of you might be thinking, he's preaching on his father's funeral again. I promise I'm not. This was the lectionary scripture for this week. and it's something that we can get so caught up in our day-to-day life that it just seems like something that's so distant, or maybe we don't even understand what's going to happen, and so we don't think about it very much, or maybe we allow the culture's ideas and influence about what happens to us after we die infiltrate our thoughts and our understandings. And so I'm hoping today that we can take a look a little bit at a Holy Scripture about what it has to say about heaven and what happens to us after we die, and what we can be like with the Lord in that way. Cyril of Alexandria asks, what sort of death has been defeated if Christ does not rise again in a body? And what he's getting at is that we don't become just some kind of celestially disembodied spirit floating around out there, but it's transfigured embodiment in the world as God intended it from the beginning. But we will actually have a body. Did you know that? We're not just going to be floating around. Dan, if you click over to the next slide, there's a Gary Larson cartoon I'd like to share with you for its theological importance this morning. So this is from The Far Side. The top one says, welcome to heaven, here's your harp. And the bottom one says, welcome to hell, here's your accordion. For any of you that are accordion players, my apologies. I believe those can be used to worship the Lord, perhaps, somewhere. Certainly not here. But we often make jokes about life and death because death makes us uncomfortable, and this is Gary Larson's take on it. You know, there's the angel, everybody has wings and harps standing on clouds. But what does Scripture really have to say about it? 1 John chapter 3 says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. When we enter heaven, we will be changed physically and spiritually. John tells us that we will be like Jesus. So what will that be like then? One thing, we will no longer sin. Right now you're thinking, yeah, okay. Maybe, I don't know. But Scripture says, he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful until the day of completion in Jesus Christ. That day of completion in Jesus Christ, when we are with Christ in his presence forever, that sinful nature is completely gone. We will be a completely new creation at that point. I was talking with Skip Downing several years ago, and he said to me, something that has stuck with me. He said, I don't think we really realize the entire weight of sin that holds on to us because we're so used to carrying it around. You know, even though we try to live as followers of Christ and we repent of our sin, we still have all the temptation around us all the time. And even in that moment, if we don't sin when we're approached with temptation, we still have that internal battle of, what am I going to do with this thought? How am I going to handle this? Am I going to submit it to the Lord, or am I going to entertain it? We won't have to worry about that anymore. We won't have that weight on us anymore. And Skip was saying he thought that would just be an amazing thing, and I tend to agree with him. So, and I owe you $5 too. This next one's kind of a fun one. In John chapter 20, it says, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them, and said, peace to you. So does that mean that because we're going to be like Jesus, our heavenly bodies won't be subject to some of the laws of physics? Boy, it would be fun to pass through a wall and just... I mean, you've got to think about the smile that Jesus had on his face. I'm going to blow their minds. Going to pass through that wall. And then he goes on and proceeds to eat with them. And so Jesus passes through a wall. He's with his disciples. And then he goes and eats food with them. And it doesn't go right through him and fall onto the floor. Right? I know it sounds funny, but if we think about it. Luke chapter 24, behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit, does a spirit not have flesh and bones as you see I have? And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, but while they still did not believe for joy and marvel, he said to them, do you have any food? So they gave him a piece of boiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And so we know that we will be able to eat. We'll be able to enjoy each other's presence, even as we are in the presence of the Lord eternally. Scripture talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? The feast that we have the foreshadowing of when we come to the table of the Lord, where those who have gone before are already feasting. How about this one? This is a good one. We will never be sick again. I hate being sick. I don't know about you. It's totally not fun. And when a sickness hits our family, it seems to hit all of us. And that's not fun either. And I'm looking forward to those days, and even beyond a simple sickness, all those things that we bring to the body of Christ to pray about. Think of all the people with cancer, all the people with physical challenges, people that are struggling with mental illness, people that are having all kinds and manner of illness and disease in their lives. Christ died to deliver us from that. And when we are in his presence forever, none of that will be a factor. We live in this fallen world. It's imperfect. It's under the curse. People get sick. People die. And in heaven, that will not happen. Revelation 21:4 says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We are living under the old order right now. The Lord created the heavens and the earth a certain way. And because of our trip through sin, because we decided to tell God we wanted it a certain way, creation is fallen, and as beautiful as it is, it's a fallen creation. Think about the beauty of what the restored creation, the new heaven, the new earth, the new order of things. Isaiah 35 says, the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame will leap like a deer. The mute tongue will shout for joy. There will be no suffering in heaven. Speaking of deer, will there be animals in heaven? I can't promise that my cat, Kitty Boy, that I named when I was 6, will be there. I don't know. That's up to God. I will tell you, if that cat is there, he underwent some kind of redemption. He's a bad, bad cat. But Scripture tells us the wolf will dwell with the lamb, the leopard with the kid, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together in a little child, Jesus, shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, the young ones shall lie down together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Revelation 19:11 says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." It seems like there's animals in heaven. Seems like God loves his creation and made animals as a part of it. How they are in heaven, I don't know, but it seems like they're there. So are we all just going to stand around and worship God forever and not know each other? I mean, am I going to know my wife in heaven? She's like, only you can spell Czechoslovakia. Matthew chapter 17 says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah.'" These disciples recognized Moses and Elijah even though they both lived hundreds of years before the disciples were born. How is that possible? How did they know them? How could they recognize them? Let me pull out my digital phone here, my iPhone. Here's what Moses looks like, right? They didn't have that. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am also known. In heaven, it seems that we'll know each other and know our loved ones. And not only our loved ones, but everyone else that is there. In heaven, we are going to experience love, joy, and peace in the way that they were meant to be. And we use those words now. But the way that we experience love, joy, and peace right now as humans is just a shadow of what's going to happen. A shadow of what God intended in his creation. We can only experience them partly now. We don't fully experience them because we know what it is to hate. We know what it is to grieve. We know what it is to have trouble. We know what it is to have strife between us. When all these things are removed and we are in the presence of Christ, we will love and we will rejoice and we will be completely at peace. There's going to be a new Jerusalem. You should check that out in your spare time. Revelation chapter 21. It says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." Jerusalem actually means city of peace. And this new Jerusalem is pretty big. Depending on how you measure it, it seems like it's about 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. Something like that. Near as we can tell. And it'll have 12 gates with the 12 tribes of Israel written on them. And the entire city is made of gold and jewels. Scripture tells us the walls are made of diamond and the city of pure gold, clear as glass. The foundation is filled with precious stones. And as God is living in this city, the light from his glory shines through these stones, producing just a rainbow of colors. Can you imagine such a thing? I mean, just amazing. And more important than anything else, more important than any of the rest of the stuff that we've talked about, is that we will be with our Lord Christ forever. Revelation 22 says, "They shall see his face, his name shall be on their foreheads. There will be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they will reign forever and ever." When we see Christ face to face, His presence will dominate heaven the same way that the sun dominates our sky on a hot summer day, only even more so. If heaven had streets of gold and precious gems and angels, but no Jesus, we wouldn't even be able to see or notice these things, because just as the sun illuminates our world, Christ illuminates all of heaven. This is what we have to look forward to. If we allow ourselves to really think about that for just a moment and be caught up in that, it might put some of our physical earthly life, its trials, its troubles, its struggles, and its strifes in some kind of perspective. We are eternal beings, and we will live forever in some way. We are with Christ. We are with Him forever. So what do you do with this? Sounds good, Pastor. Okay, great. Hopefully I don't get there too soon because I'm enjoying my life, right? What is your story? How has Christ transformed your life? If this is where you're headed, if this is what you have to look forward to, what has Jesus done for you now? Who are you? We are people of the incarnation, of God in the flesh who lived as we do yet did not sin. We are people that are witnesses to the miracles of Jesus, the power in Him to live a changed and transformed life, not subject to sin and weakness. We are people of the cross and of the torn curtain. Our sin is accounted for on the cross, knowing that we could never be good enough. And through Christ's death, access to God is made clear. We are people of the empty tomb. God's resurrection power and victory over death gives us that hope that no matter what happens in this life, no matter what we are going through, Christ has won for us the final victory, and we will rise with Him. We are people of the upper room. We are the church that is called together at this time and in this place, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, to carry the kingdom of God forward, to preach liberty to the captives, to testify to the power of Christ to change lives, to save, to heal, and to deliver. So we can press on in this life no matter what happens, come what may, knowing that we know the rest of the story. We know how we end up. We don't have to sell words to get there. Christ has made the way for us, and we can live our lives confident, knowing that He holds our lives now and in the world to come. In the name of Christ.